Welcome to Capital in the Morning, and I'm delighted to have a guest in studio. You know how much I have fun when you're having a guest in studio. And today, we have author, entrepreneur, media personality, Riley Driver, art curator, fashion designer. Did I miss out on anything else?
Mother
of two. There you go. And all round East African, I should say. Lisa Christopherson is in studio with us. Good morning, Lisa. How are you doing?
Good morning.
It's so
great to be here.
It is great to be here. And I feel like I know you. It's one of those things with famous people, isn't it? I feel like I know you, but we've never met.
I know, and I can't believe that. I cannot believe we have never met.
Furthermore, what I'm excited about mostly is I was born in Kenya, raised in Kenya, of course. But my roots and heritage are from Tanzania, which a lot of people don't know that you were born in Tanzania as well.
I was born in Moshi, actually, and grew up on the foothills of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Wow, that's beautiful. I came from Tanga. Barabara ya 13 Tanga, jamani.
Yeah, how are you doing? Tanga.
Hey, bwana tunatanga Tanga. Na sana sana hawajui kuwa unajua Kiswahili na unajua Kiswahili vizuri sana.
Najaribu.
Unajaribu.
Najaribu sana sana.
Welcome, Lisa. I would love to start with your story in Tanzania and perhaps how you grew up and we'll get to this particular part where we are right now. But tell us about growing up.
So childhood was amazing growing up on a wheat farm on West Kilimanjaro, and we had Sir Michael Wood, who founded Amref Flying Doctors, on one side of the Shamba.
Indeed.
And on the other side we had Robin Elliott, who a lot of people know from the rally world.
Indeed.
And my father was, you know, farmer, engineer,
yeah,
rally driver, hunter, and all of that. So grew up with this amazing childhood on this farm where we actually have the back end of the corridor behind Amboseli. So we'd go down and say, what would you like for dinner? And go shoot a zebra so there would be some nice nyama for us.
Indeed.
And for the dogs.
Yeah.
And for everybody, you know. So it was an interesting life, you know, growing up, having horses, riding through the bush on horseback. And but, you know, we were far away from civilization.
Yeah.
So at 6.5, I was sent to boarding school, which was Arusha.
Oh, wow.
So I spent 3 years at Arusha boarding school, which I absolutely loved.
Nice.
You develop a friendship for life at
Indeed.
Boarding school.
Exactly.
And it's something very special that not many people would understand unless you've been sent to boarding school. I know for a lot of parents, they wouldn't dream of sending children to boarding school, but actually, you know, the friendship and the camaraderie that you develop,
yeah,
is very, very special.
And the independence as well, I suppose, and that's what led to you, you know, jumping from being a farm girl to going back to Denmark and just finding yourself, isn't it?
Exactly. So I think my mother, when my parents divorced, decided that Denmark should be the next education platform for me. And I'm very grateful for today because, you know, speak 5 languages and you grew up independent, you know, riding bicycles. When I first was given a bicycle to go to school, I was like, what is this? You know? So it's a completely culture shock. And it was very different from anything that I knew. But I'm grateful for all the learning curves that I went through, even the weather. The food.
I can imagine coming from being a farm girl in East Africa to, you know,
to
living
winter,
in Denmark
storms,
and winter and all those.
Storms,
yeah.
And getting stuck in snowstorms, like, oi. But it was, I'm grateful today.
To all that.
To have had all of that experience, yes.
So I remember my first job, and I will not disclose my age, but I remember starting out in my early days, one of my first jobs was being a potter. I learned so much of who I am today through working as a potter for a band called the Pressman Band, if you remember that back in the day. And I used to tie the equipment and then they would perform and then offload the equipment and all these amazing things. What was your first stint in terms of working?
So, you know, I remember in the summer that, you know, my mum said, go and earn some pocket money.
Yeah.
So you had this 7-week long summer holiday. So our first stint was at 13 selling ice cream in the harbour.
No way.
Yeah, it was actually quite fun because, you know, for me, suddenly you're thrown out there and learning to interact with all kinds of people.
Indeed.
Then, you know, and in a harbour you have sailing yachts that come from all over Europe.
Yeah.
So it was a really interesting job. And then also, you know, delivering newspapers early in the morning. as well. Yeah, you know, if I wanted to get that pair of latest designer jeans, I had to go and work for it.
These kids will never know.
They will never know today with the sweat that we went through. And, you know, we start from that very, very young age and fearlessly.
Indeed.
Throw ourselves in the deep end. And, you know, it's grateful today because I think, you know, you are who you are. And the more you are out there,
indeed,
the more outgoing you yourself are. And it gives you that inner confidence.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Listen, we're coming back in a short while. We've got nickname Mama Chui with us, Lisa Christopherson, and she is author, entrepreneur, media personality, rally driver, art curator, fashion designer with us. And any questions or queries, hashtag drive in, hashtag 984 is where you can find us. My name is McCool. Capital FM. And we're busy playing musical chairs in studio just to get it right. There you go, because we have the amazing Lisa Christopherson with us. If you don't know her, I'm sure you know her. Hey, celebrity extraordinaire, media personality, author, entrepreneur, fashion designer, art curator, and of course, rally driver, for those who know her from that particular world. And we've been talking about growing up and discovering yourself in life. And then at some point, you just decided, I'm coming back to Africa and Kenya in particular. What inspired that?
I was working at Copenhagen Airport for Scandinavian Airlines. And in those days, Scandinavian Airlines was the handling agent for every single international airline. So I was like, this is my ticket to go home, back to Africa.
Indeed.
My mother's sister has lived most of her life in Nairobi.
Yeah.
And so one day I got a phone call from an Italian architect, interior designer, furniture designer too, mm-hmm, and said, look, I have landed this massive contract to refurbish Safari Park Hotel. Remember the old
Yes, of course.
And he said, I need some help. And I said, well, I'm not an interior designer.
Yeah.
He says, you know, you have very good taste. You've got the eye. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
So there I did. I quit my job. 22 suitcases and a one-way ticket. Nairobi, here we come.
And you picked up, of course, after that. And at some point, you did go back to Tanzania, if I'm not wrong.
I did. I went back to Tanzania and did some time with the Safari, International Safari Company.
Yeah.
And because I spoke languages and basically is a world traveler, I was going around the world marketing safaris for East Africa,
mm-hmm,
which was really super exciting. But at some point, I came back to Kenya and settled down. So I've been here now for the past 28 years.
And with two kids.
And with two grown-up kids.
Two grown-up. How old are they, if you don't mind me asking?
29 and 27.
Wow. They're not kids.
They're not kids anymore. No, absolutely. Fully grown adults, responsible human beings.
Absolutely, absolutely. And let's talk about your art experience and, of course, art gallery. What informed opening that?
I realized at some point when I was working on the project with Safari Park Hotel, which was my life for 5 years. I actually lived, breathed, and woke up, went to bed at Safari Park Hotel. And a lot of art was involved there. And realizing that there is so much culture in Africa.
Indeed.
It's an untold story.
Absolutely.
So I decided, and realizing that Tanzania basically has over 122 ethnic tribes,
mm-hmm,
the culture is vast. I was given a huge coffee table book by a curator from Volkerkunde Museum in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, girl, focus on art, African tribal art,
indeed,
because it is indeed a vanishing world. And you are very capable of telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided while the kids were growing up to open up the home to home gallery,
mm-hmm,
specializing in African art, telling the stories from the peoples, the culture, and then how do you live and decorate with African art. So I had some amazing, interesting projects. One was with the American Embassy.
Indeed.
When they were just opening, I was connected to work with the team from DC. How does America meet Africa? And of course, America doesn't have much history, per se, culture,
indeed,
you know, but we do. So it's fantastic that I could actually introduce these beautiful textiles and tribal pieces into the story.
Nice.
So it's all about storytelling. And also worked with Coca-Cola's offices in Upper Hill when they had the big premises there. And many, many other large corporations where I'm able to entwine the little bit of African art into the decor.
That's fantastic. And you're wearing all these different hats through and through. How do you at some point just decide at 2022, let me try my hand on TV? And one of the most controversial shows ever.
Indeed.
How did you get into that?
It's not how I get into it. It was like how to get out of it.
As people are actually writing in, this is Wamboi. It says, greetings to you, Lisa, and I loved you for being the realest in Real Housewives of Nairobi. How I understand, of course, in 2022, if I'm not wrong, meeting Caroline Gunjiri, and who convinced you? How did she even convince you to get into the program?
It wasn't really her that convinced me. Yes, she was the one that called me up. And when she was like, would you like to come for an interview for this reality show? Yeah. I hung up on her. Wrong number, girl. Anyway, called me back again.
Indeed.
And a friend of mine, Nana Gachaga, was also being interviewed at the time. So Nana was like, come on, let's go together.
Mm-hmm.
And she convinced me, or rather I convinced her, to say, okay, I will agree to do it and we keep it real, because I'm not a person that even watches television.
Right.
I've never watched a reality show in my life. What? Now suddenly I'm on it. and I said, I will do it for two reasons. If I can show Kenya through my eyes and if I can take these women rallying.
Right.
Let's get down dirty.
Right.
And they agreed. And that was really fantastic. And actually after the 12 episodes where I said to them, I'm done. Don't call me again. Delete my number.
After having gone through the experience.
But I think that Carol basically said, to date, on a global level, I mean, this Real Housewives is an international brand. So it's
Indeed.
First time that Kenya has its own international reality TV show.
Absolutely.
So there's no other reality, I mean, housewife anywhere in the world, Beverly Hills, New York, Cape Town, that has done anything with motorsport, rallying, and taken these women to a rally and thrown them in a rally car.
Absolutely, absolutely. And at this particular point, you weren't even hitched.
No.
And it was housewives of.
Housewives, yes. I'm like, I'm nobody's wife. Kwanza, housewife.
Hey.
I don't even know how to spell that.
That was quite interesting. So you get into this murky world and you try and bring something different. I remember I was supposed to host the what is it called? The reunion show. And fortunately, fortunately, I missed that. But hosting the Kalasha Awards a couple of weeks ago, it won an award.
I know. I saw that. Actually, I was in Navasha at the WRC rally.
Right.
So I couldn't attend. I did get the invitation and I did get the notification that it's a we word here, okay? We won, because without our efforts and our input and what we contributed to the show, it would not have won. So I think it's great for all of us. We can all clap.
Indeed.
And say, well done, we did it.
What was the review like in terms of your family looking at you and watching you in reality show and thinking, yeah?
There was no comments. I was like, okay, off she goes again.
Did you talk to your children about it before getting in?
I did. I did, but you know what? At the end of the day, we are responsible. Mm-hmm. And I think if I can go in and be myself, okay,
Indeed.
Let's keep it as real as possible. I don't do all of that drama. It's just not my personality.
Exactly. You're more focused on empowering, and some of the conversations that you're having are very hard conversations and coming from the heart. And you've battled a lot in your life, and you've battled cancer as well.
I did. Yes, indeed.
That.
So in 2006, I became very sick here in Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
And I went multiple times to my gynecologist here. At the end of the day, I mean, I went through four DNCs, which is basically you go in for the day, they put you out and they do all their checks. And he called me a hypochondriac. And I know very well myself, because I've always been into a healthy lifestyle.
Indeed.
And I knew something was terribly wrong, but didn't know what. And he just said, well, I can't help you anymore. So I called a girlfriend in Joburg and I said, look, I think I need to see the top gynae down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed to jump on a plane on a Sunday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
Monday 10 a.m., I saw him. Now, at this point, I was probably 49 kilos. And yani, I'm mzungu, like I was white, like white.
Indeed.
Yeah. And I couldn't walk 50 meters without coughing blood. not knowing what the heck is wrong. So after seeing this amazing Dr. Peter Cameron at Morningside Hospital in South Africa, he diagnosed me with stage 4 cancer Tuesday morning. And I was alone in there. And he was like, do you want to talk to anybody? And I said, hey, do you see anybody around me? Let's get the show on the road.
Oh, dear.
And he says, well, you know, right, you're really very, very sick. You have two massive tumors in your uterus and they're spread to your whole lung. So your whole lungs is one big tumor. And that's why I was coughing blood.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, we'll give you 10 days to live. And I said, me, I'm busy. I've got places to go, people to see, things to do, children to raise, rallies to do.
I don't have
10 days. 10 days? Ah, let's go. So he sent me down to meet Dr. Marilyn, who was a top oncologist. She redid all the tests, reaffirmed that, yes, indeed, this was the right prognosis.
Wow.
And she said, look, you have 2 weeks for us to operate and remove that tumor from your lungs so it doesn't spread any further. What I can do is try and apply through the Ministry of Health, the strongest oral chemo in the world. So she had to get her own permit to administrate that. So this was Tuesday. So by Monday, the following week, now we're on countdown. Now I've got 5 days left, according to them.
Yes.
And I'll never forget, I was put into hospital. I refused to get into those gowns. And Jero Tich Say, whose mother, Tabitha Say, was
Jero.
Do you know Jero?
I know Jero.
She's an amazing woman, absolutely amazing. I'll never forget. She drove up from Pretoria. Her mother was the High Commissioner to Kenya then. And she sat next to me, holding my hand. I was like, do you think it's a good time we have a glass of bubbles? And at that point, this elderly man came in with a brown paper bag. I said, you see? And he was like, well, this is not the kind of bubbles. So that was actually because, you know, when you think about it, what is chemo? What does chemo look like? So the chemo went in my left arm. Next thing, a hemorrhage into my lungs. I had 7 blood transfusions. And next thing, I was out. I mean, I don't remember anything. I woke up many, many days later in a tiny corner of ICU in Morningside. So literally, I technically died. So they managed to revive me and put me on life support. So attached to every single tube and machine around me, that was it. And I couldn't speak for 5 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was it. And I knew I never would die. But I was put in hospital for 3 months. I had weekly chemo. And at one point, even with 1 week, it would be 3 hours chemo. Another week, 12 hours chemo. And on one of the nights of the 12 hours chemo, the machine hadn't stopped. So when the doctor, the oncologist, came to check on me the following morning, I had had 19 hours of chemo.
Wow.
And I literally, my left arm had a massive burn. It was burnt through my skin.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, exactly. But I told the doctor, I said, hey, it's probably a good thing. Look, I'm here now.
10 days, my bottom side. I am moving.
I'm here.
I'm leaving.
Do you know what I realized? It's about the attitude.
It is, isn't it?
And it's a positive attitude. We're talking positivity here. And it's about believing in yourself because the mind is the most powerful tool we have.
I always say that.
Yes.
I always say that. Lisa Christopherson, author, entrepreneur, media personality, femme fatale extraordinaire.
Ooh la la.
Cancer survivor as well. With us in studio. We come back in a short while. Wow. Capital FM. But right about now, we're talking all things rally. We're talking all things reality shows. And we're talking all things reality and day-to-day life and overcoming. These are things that are dear to my heart as I talk about them. And one of the reasons why I came back to radio, and I said earlier on, is to try and give hope. Mine is a message every single day, trying to peddle hope and optimism to people who've undergone challenges, so to speak. Lisa Christopherson has taken it to the next level. You've combined your message of hope with your passion, which is rally.
Absolutely.
Tell us a bit about that.
So realizing that, you know, when people get told the C word, so cancer, COVID, some people just give up and like, eh.
Death sentence.
It's a death sentence, but it's not. It's about teaching and empowering and giving hope to anybody to believe in yourself. So pick yourself up. Don't rely on anybody. You yourself can change the outlook of anything. It's with that attitude. The mind is the most powerful tool. Use it. Tap into it. Find that inner strength and give yourself hope.
Every day.
And that is possible.
Wow.
It just takes time. So I believe in that. So I realized that I want to give back and give back hope. You know, so founding Kenya's first all-women-only safari rally, the Lionesses, in 2022 was to empower young women to take charge of their lives by literally, metaphorically steering in the direction. So yes, we go through hurdles, we go through triple caution bumps in life to slow us down sometimes, to rethink, but pick yourself up and you continue that journey, that safari, okay? So this year, driving in WRC, my motto, my cause is driving for change, to make a difference in people's lives, supporting young children with cancer. And one of our first support systems is one of our fellow rally drivers who drove in the Lioness Rally. Faith, her 14-year-old son, has been diagnosed with a malignant tumor on his jaw. So I'm right now talking to her, Faith, and hoping that she can take her son to South Africa and get medical assistance the way that I got it down there. They were amazing doctors. And I believe, you know, it's on the continent, 4 hours flight, it would be easy. So giving her hope to give her son hope as a single parent.
Yeah.
And that is the journey that I want to do. So telling stories by giving hope, empowering hope, and, you know, rallying. It's tough. People just think that, this looks so glamorous and so easy.
Yeah.
But all the preparations behind the scenes.
Indeed.
You know, writing to sponsors, speaking to sponsors. You're almost begging for sponsors to support you because it's an expensive sport. You know, and then you've got to prepare yourself mentally, physically as well.
Exactly.
For the preparations, you've got to go through tire clinics so you know how to change those tires.
Yeah.
A little bit about mechanics. There's a lot behind the scenes that you need to learn and know before you enter into that vehicle.
Wow. You drive a Subaru?
Yes, I do. I love Subarus. Subaru, did you hear that? I'm looking for sponsorship.
Subaru girl, how is that?
I love Subarus. They are solid. They're reliable. And it's a great car to maneuver your way through traffic in Nairobi.
Awesome, awesome. So do you think you're going to be part of the national circuit, or is it just reserved for the safari?
I am planning to be part of the circuit. I'm planning to drive in next month's rally in Nanyuki.
Nice.
Which will be fantastic. Again, it all depends on sponsorship. So I'm in negotiations with a couple of companies and just saying, guys, I'm a billboard on wheels. So where I go, you go.
Absolutely.
Capital FM being part of this journey.
We are there. Say it and we're there.
Fantastic.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Lisa, you've been through ups and downs of life, and you've seen life from different perspectives and be exposed in different parts of this world. What's your take out, especially at this point in your life, having gone through that, and where you want to go and the message that you want to give?
First of all, LISA stands for Life is So Amazing. So waking up every morning with gratitude and happiness and positivity, for always saying today's going to be a great day. Yes, we do wake up to battles.
Indeed.
Of course, life is that book. And in that book, we have multiple chapters, right? So wearing many hats and being the character of who I am, I believe there is so much in life to do. So going through all the things that I've done, experiences, just makes me who I am. So it builds up on your character and that you become that fearless human being that said, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Indeed.
So let me try and conquer something else. Let me try and do something different.
Yeah.
So there's so many more things to do. So one of the things that I haven't told you, but I've actually shot my own reality TV show.
Oh, wow.
So we've done a pilot. We've got the synopsis. We've got a little teaser.
Yeah.
And we are pitching right now to various production houses locally, internationally as well, and looking for that perfect partner who wants to come with me on this amazing journey on 12 episodes.
Wow. Eugene Bugu, are you listening? You've already won a couple of awards with her.
Exactly. Sharing is caring.
Lisa, I am honored to have you in studio. Thank you so very much for making time.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Absolutely. And
thank
I can't
you very
wait
much.
To have you back again.
Asante sana.
Karibu sana. That's Lisa Christopherson. Bwana ametoka Tanzania, Musimone tu hapa. Ametoka hapa Arusha, Moshi tu, a stone throw away. And such a remarkable human being. The message is, it's up to you. You wake up. You go through troubles. You go through the ups and downs of life. You get gutted a couple of times. But like this song says, you dust yourself off and you try again.
Exactly. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.